Then, without warning, he's standing with me, still in his arms, and carrying me down the hallway into my room. He places me on my feet next to my bed, and then he untucks his dress shirt and unbuttons it. I can't help but watch each button pop, revealing more of his skin. His broad, hard chest comes into view, and I can only stare, stunned at the perfection. As I'm frozen in place, he goes for my dress, unzipping the side and easily slipping it off over my head, never taking his eyes from my face. He drops the dress to the floor and opens his own shirt, then puts it on me. He covers my naked body and does up all the buttons, while the whole time I watch as he cares for me. Always the gentleman.
If you only knew, he says,
masking the words with a deep breath, and I almost don't catch them. After he's finished buttoning me up, he pulls back the covers and picks me up again, placing me in the center of the bed. You'll never fit on the sofa. I reach out to him, wanting him to lie down with me. Or were you? I can't even finish my sentence. I'm so afraid that he's leaving. He saw me home, made sure I was okay, and tucked me into bed. My hand drops because I don't want this to end. I know when morning comes, things will be different. I want to hold on to this for a moment longer before everything comes flooding in. Soon the memories will start pressing down on me, demanding to be heard.
I'm not leaving.
His voice is soft, and it settles the rising panic. A sense of calm washes over me, and I reach my hand out to him again. Then lie down with me. He groans and kicks off his shoes. I flip the covers back, inviting him into the bed, making no move to go to the other side. My bed isn't gigantic, and with me lying in the center, he'll have to touch me to fit his big frame. He turns off the lamp and surprises me when the bed dips on his side. I think he's going to lie there, but instead he molds his body against mine, throwing his big leg over me, pinning me underneath him, wrapping around me completely. I settle into him and wonder if he can keep the nightmares at bay. When I'm with him, he keeps the memories from coming. And tonight, that's all I want. Peace, sleep, and comfort. 5. Paige. I wake right before the sun rises, and the darkness of my room begins to lift. It's not the sun shining in. It's more of a light gray. It's dawn, and I've slept a dreamless night in the arms of a man I shouldn't want. Stretching, I notice that he's not in bed, but his warmth is all around me. I sit up, thinking that he must have left, but see him sitting in a chair beside the bed, looking at me. His stare makes me feel shy, and I grab the blankets that have fallen in my lap. I don't use them to cover me. I twist them in my hands, giving them something to do.
Good morning, kitten.
His voice is like caramel, and it slides across the room and coats my skin. I feel the stir of something low in my belly, and I want him to come lie down with me. I want him to stand up and climb on top of my body and wordlessly take me. Right here, right now. As the fantasy plays out in my mind, I twist the blankets between my fingers. Captain notices and looks down at my hands, and then back to my eyes. It's like he can read my mind when his dark green eyes give me a sad smile. His scent of rosewood is all around me, and though I've convinced myself he's too good for me, I find that I'm desperate for him. Maybe it's because I was vulnerable with him last night. Maybe it's because I'm really turned on by his naked chest and I want to get laid. Or maybe it's that I trust him. It's been a long time since I let my guard down, and the last time that happened was with Mallory. Giving my trust to someone is as intimate as giving someone my body. And yet here he is, in my room and in my space, and I want to throw all my apprehensions to the side and fall for him. It would be so easy to love a man like Ryan Justice. He's good to the core, sweet, kind, and would never hurt me. Going to him and allowing him into my heart would feel like coming home. I know all these things like I know the sun is moments from coming up, and yet I remain motionless on the bed. All the past fears and insecurities bubble up as the first light breaks through the curtain and shatters our precious connection. The brilliance of the day caresses the space between us, and as if Captain knew it would happen, he nods and stands.
I'm going to go home.
I feel so many emotions at one time. I'm sad he's leaving and relieved at the same time. I don't know that I'm powerful enough to ask him to go, and yet I'm not strong enough to let him stay. My heart was broken a long time ago, and I don't have room to love someone so perfect. Someone who could break me beyond the point of return and leave me with the wreckage. I know my past is dark, and I know what my plans are. Last night was a setback, and I need to push it away. I need to push Captain away. I feel him move to the side of the bed, and his rough hand reaches up and cups my cheek. I'm forced to look up into his beautiful green eyes and see the little flecks of blue as the light touches them.
This isn't the end, Paige.
He rubs his thumb across my bottom lip, and my heart beats hopefully.
This is how our story begins.
He leans down slowly and brushes his lips gently against mine. My eyes flutter closed, and I take in his scent and his presence and the warm, sugary feel of him once again. And just as I think about how I want more, he's taking a step back. With one final look, he leaves my bedroom, closing the door behind him. I fall back against the pillow and lie there, trying to find the earth again. What in the hell just happened? I've kept him at a distance for so long, and one night I finally give in, and suddenly I'm a mess. For most of my life, I've pushed people from me emotionally, and until Mallory came along, no one had made a dent. Sure, I loved my mother, and she loved me, but we weren't very expressive about it. When my mom met Alexander, she'd been young. Too young. That seemed to be his type. Get them young and take advantage. Make it so they depended on him. He wanted his women to think he was God. When she was 15, he'd found her on the streets and brought her to work in some restaurant he owned. It was all a cover for laundering money and running drugs. But she'd been head over heels for the guy and went willingly. She never told me the whole story, but after she died, an old lady who worked in the restaurant told me everything. Alexander had forced himself on her the first chance he got. My mother convinced herself that it was payment for all he provided for her, and the fact that he didn't let his men touch her. She did what he said and worked in the restaurant, but was always there when he came calling, servicing him. It went on like that for a while, and unsurprisingly, she got pregnant. The first time, she was almost 16, and he wouldn't let her keep it. He had someone come in and give her an abortion against her will. After that, he put her on birth control and told her not to let it happen again. She knew about his real family, the wife and his baby boy, and he didn't want her messing that up, dirtying his name as if it wasn't already. But she got pregnant again not long after, claiming the birth control didn't work. He made her get a second abortion and told her if she got pregnant again, she'd regret it. By the time she was 20, she was madly in love with him. Even though he treated her like trash and started hitting her, she still loved him. I'll never understand it. I think she had Stockholm syndrome or something. I'd always wondered if he had hit her too hard a few times, and she wasn't all there. Reality wasn't something my mother dealt in. She got pregnant and begged him to let her keep it, because she knew he would never leave his family, and she wanted a piece of him. I don't know how she convinced him, but he let her, and I came along. She named me after her grandmother and gave me her last name. I was brought into this world as Paige Marie Turner, and my father never wanted anything to do with me. I think my mother thought she could love me enough that it wouldn't matter, but I believe she had only enough room in her heart for him. Alexander had consumed her soul, and she wouldn't let him go. I grew up in the restaurant and was shuffled back and forth to school by the old Italian ladies who worked there. One would think they would have shown me some kindness, but they mostly made sure I had enough to eat and left me alone. I can only assume no one wanted to get in the way of Alexander and his crazy lover. I'd watch my father come and go, listening to all the things he said, never forgetting any of them. Maybe he thought I was too young to recall some of what I'd seen or heard, but I remembered everything. As time went on, I learned to live with my mother's shortcomings and took care of myself and oftentimes her. But everything changed when she found out he'd left his family. When she heard that he'd walked out and let them go, she had the moment she'd been waiting for since she was 15. In my heart, I believe she thought he would finally make her his wife and pull her out of the dump he'd thrown her in. That this was her moment to shine and be recognized as a woman of worth. Instead, everything went to shit. I roll on my side and close my eyes, not wanting to remember the rest, not wanting to have the images of what happened flash through my mind. As the sun hits my face, I lie there and let it warm me while I try to push away the dark thoughts and all the hate that boils inside me. I wish Captain was back in bed with me. I wish I was wrapped in his arms so he would be all I could think about. Then I hear a knock on the door. Slipping out of bed, I realize I've still got on Captain's dress shirt and snuggle into it. His smell clings to it, and I inhale deeply, wanting to breathe him in. I walk to the door with my nose buried in the fabric and look through the peephole. When I can't see anyone there, I flip the lock Captain must have set when he left, and open the door an inch. Looking down at the floor, I see a small brown bag there, and open the door a little more. Looking up and down the hallway, I don't see anyone, and I reach for the bag, thinking maybe the doorman from downstairs brought it up. I take it inside and close and lock the door behind me. When I catch the aroma of coffee and sugar, my mouth starts to water. Opening the bag, I peer inside to see a small to-go cup and something that looks like a Danish wrapped in waxed paper. On top there's a note, and I bite my lip to keep from smiling. "I'll have you know that getting you breakfast without a shirt on was interesting, but you're worth a few stares. I'm running home to change clothes, and I expect you to put on your workout gear and meet me downstairs in an hour. X. Ryan." I blush and put my hand over my mouth, though I don't know why I'm trying to hide my smile. On Sundays, Captain and a few of the guys I work with train together. I've gotten to go to only one session since I started working at Osborne Corp because of my schedule and looking after Mallory. I was always in charge of her personal security, and now that she and Miles are always together, I'm able to go. It's a normal routine, sparring or working out, going over new security procedures, and preparing for the next week. So I don't know why I'm giddy from the note. But then I realize it's because this is different. Him waking up in my room and bringing me breakfast is not routine, and it's making me react to him like never before. I try not to read too much into the kind gesture, thinking that this is just Captain, good to the core and perfect in every way. Even if he has to leave a lady unsatisfied in bed, the least he can do is bring her coffee. I eat my breakfast, because like always, I'm starving. Once the Danish is gone, I make some eggs. After that, I grab a banana and take it to my room to snack on while I get dressed. Mallory always jokes with me about how much I eat and how small I am, but I shrug, not knowing how to respond. I guess being small takes a lot of energy. Reluctantly, I unbutton the dress shirt and give it one last smell before I hang it on the end of my bed. The polite thing to do would be to return it to Captain, but I've never been good with manners. It's mine now. End of discussion. I might not be able to have him, but I'm keeping the shirt. After pulling on some workout shorts and a sports bra, I grab my sneakers and lace them up. Captain hates when I wear so little to group exercises, but why would I stop poking at him now? After last night, it feels as if there's even more reason to maintain the tone of our relationship. Knowing that I'm going to make him growly only spurs me on. I didn't wash off the layers of stuff I had put on for the charity event, and it feels like I have a face on top of my face. So I brush my teeth and scrub off the makeup now. Pulling my auburn locks in a high ponytail, I think for half a second about putting on some lipstick, but then don't bother. He's seen me without makeup so often, why should I worry now? Things are going to be exactly the same as they were before the kiss. The kiss. The replay in my mind doesn't do it justice, as I remember the feel of his big body pushing me against the wall, his warm tongue forcing its way into my mouth, and how he commanded me to obey, his big palm squeezing my bare ass, and the scorching heat that sizzled and crackled between us. Gripping the edge of the sink, I try to shake off the memory. He's technically my boss, and we don't need this to happen. He's a perfect guy who needs to find his Miss America and settle down. That thought makes a nasty, jealous monster stir inside me, and I shake that off, too. Simmer down, Paige. It was one lame kiss, and I'm sure he was just being nice last night. He says this is the beginning of us, but it's not. I'm going to make that clear and then move on. Lame kiss my ass, I growl as I grab my bag and leave my apartment. 6. Paige. You look nice under me, Captain. I reach out a hand, helping him off the ground. Captain's cheeks are red, and the guys around us are giving him shit. But I feel like I could conquer the world. We're in Midtown Manhattan, off 41st Street in Bryant Park. There's a small warehouse here we use for group training sessions on weekends. Along with me and Captain, there's McCoy, Grant, Shepard, and Jordan. The four guys are all part of Miles's security for Osborne Corporation and are his personal detail when Captain and I can't be there. Today we're sparring, and Captain teamed me up with him. I don't know if it's the sugar rush or the caffeine I had this morning, but I've been on point. I would have thought after last night he would go easy on me, but he doesn't hold back. In the back of my mind, I wonder if he knows I'm trying to prove something and is just letting me get it out of my system. Either way, this is the third time I've taken him down, and I could still use another round. The warehouse is bare, with a ring in the middle and mats around it. One wall is lined with mirrors, and workout equipment is scattered throughout. We usually rotate around the gym until the end of the day, when we enter the ring. When I got here today, I'd nodded to the guys like normal and started my workout. First the treadmill to warm up my muscles, and then the weights. I may be small for my size, but I can lift and hold my own. Captain stayed with me throughout my workout, like he has the last few times I've been here. So having him by my side shouldn't have been different. It should have been exactly the same as before. Only this time, my body was all too aware of him. I'd waited, hoped, actually, for him to mention the breakfast he left for me. But when he didn't, I let it go, not wanting to make it seem like it was a big deal. Instead of bringing it up, I decided to play it cool and pretend that my body wasn't screaming for his touch as we worked out. All day he's kept his distance, and it's eating me alive. Normally he'll find ways to touch me, and I'll pull away. But now that I welcome it, it's not coming. Maybe now that he's had a taste, he doesn't want more. He went back home and thought everything out, and has changed his mind. I'm more work than I'm worth. I've heard that more times than I want to remember over the years. I was anxious to get in the ring because I knew this way I could put my hands on him. But it's not the same as when he's the one doing the touching. Instead of making a grab for me or getting us tangled up in one another, he deflects all my moves and blocks me when possible, going down and taking the loss without really fighting back. It doesn't feel like he's letting me win. It feels like he's trying not to touch me. And that thought makes me a little angry. You gonna let me win all day? Captain stands and moves to the other side of the ring, watching me. Just as he's about to say something, a buzzer goes off, and the guys all push away from the ropes.
Time's up, Turner,
McCoy yells, and I let out a breath. Our session is finished for the day, and I'm overloaded with emotions. I want to get out of here as soon as I can, yet I want to stay and yell at Captain. What is wrong with me? I duck under the ropes, grab my water bottle, and take a drink. I pack up my stuff and say my goodbyes to the guys as they head out before me. As I throw my stuff in my gym bag, I feel him behind me. And I know if I turn around, I won't be able to take the look on his face. It will only remind me that I'm an idiot for wanting someone so perfect. I'll hate myself because I can't have him. I'm not good enough for a man like him. And my past is nothing but trash that follows me around. What? I say, not turning to face him. He reads me so easily, I don't want him to see I'm upset.
You owe me another round.
I flip around at his words, angry that he wants to get back in the ring. What the hell? I just took him down without him so much as touching me, and now he wants another chance? No thanks. I don't want his pity. I know I'm being a brat because I'm always running hot and cold, and it's completely hypocritical, but it still pisses me off. He's the one who started all this, with his touches and sweet words. Maybe a little crush I had on him blossomed, and now it feels like he's the one running. He's taken away the little touches I'd grown accustomed to. He made me crave them, and now I'm pissed I'm not getting my fix. You didn't get enough nap time in on the mat? I thought that's what you wanted. Reaching behind his head, he grabs the neck of his sweat-dampened shirt and pulls it off. Up and over it goes, revealing his smooth chest and tight abs. His wide rib cage does nothing to hide his muscles. The dark tattoos that wind up his arms flex. And I swear to God, if I had panties on, they'd disintegrate. Jesus, this guy looks like the after picture on one of those workout videos. I swallow audibly.
Just one more round. I think I needed to find my rhythm.
His words are punctuated by the sound of the gym door closing. The guys all left in a hurry to enjoy the rest of their Sunday. Squaring my shoulders, I reach up and tighten my high ponytail and bounce on the balls of my feet a little. Let's do it. The old Italian ladies in the restaurant had a name for me. They called me Difficile. I found out it meant tough, and I kind of liked it. They didn't say much to me, or about me, but knowing that they thought I was tough meant something. I wasn't one to back down from a challenge, and I sure as hell wasn't going to stop now. Captain throwing down the gauntlet was the one sure way to get me into the ring. I watch as he goes in first, bending between the ropes. I watch his ass, and I give him a smirk when he straightens and catches me checking him out. I duck in and stand up, bouncing all the time. My body is still loose from the workout, and we don't have on gloves. When we spar, we don't throw punches. We disarm, restrain, and contain. So we both put our hands up and start circling around the ring. We wait and see who's going to make the first move. For once, I chase all my feelings out of my head and focus on what's in front of me. Other than the small distraction of the perfection that is his body, my mind is sharp. I mimic his speed around the mat, waiting for an opening. He's at least twice my size, so I'm at a disadvantage when it comes to strength. But with the right moves, any man can be brought to his knees. This isn't like earlier today. The ring is charged now, and I feel it coming from him. He's going to come at me, and when he does, I need to be ready.
I can tell that when he gets a hold of me, this won't be so easily won. Just as the thought enters my mind, he strikes. His hand comes out and I try to block him, but he takes me off guard and goes for my upper thigh. I spin and kick, barely getting free of his large hand, as he takes a step back and out of my reach. My mother always told me not to play with my food, he says, getting low and moving around the ring again. You plan on having a meal up here after I send you crying back to your mama? He laughs big and loud, and I can't help my matching smile. Oh no, kitten, I plan on eating something up here, and the only tears being shed will be tears of joy. I could try to read into what he's saying, but his hand comes out lightning fast, and I have half a second to react. His fingers graze my waist as I slip to the side and come up behind him, knocking him off balance and skirting away. What's wrong? Got tired of losing in front of the boys? I pout as we start to dance around the ring again, and once more he laughs. God, I hate how much I love the sound of it. He looks at me with intense eyes, and his smile turns wicked. I don't care about getting my ass kicked by you in front of my guys. What I do care about is them seeing me on top of you, and what might happen when I get you on your back. I push away his words and try to not let them affect me. Don't you mean if you get me on my back? He licks his lips and we dance around again. No, kitten. I mean when. The slow throb between my legs has nothing to do with what he's saying. Nothing at all. At least that's what I keep telling myself. God, why did I let myself be alone with him? He's all sweaty and meaty. And Jesus, I want to climb him like a tree. I'd be his little monkey mate and do tricks on his shoulders for money. What is wrong with me? The distraction is enough for him to exploit an opening. This time he grabs my thighs with both hands and flips me to my back. The mat is a trampoline that's been strung tight, so although it sounds loud and painful, falling on it doesn't actually hurt. What hurts is the ache in my lady business as he moves between my legs and cages me in. How does he keep doing this, and why does it keep turning me on? So, as I was saying, he leans down, his lips a breath from mine, and I'm coiled with anticipation. I open my mouth and my eyelids grow heavy as I think about all the things I want to do to him right on this dirty mat. But as the fantasy starts to come to life, our cell phones ring. Captain pops up and I do the same, both of us grabbing our phones, which are off to the side. Paige, oh my God, I'm engaged! Mallory screams over the phone. And for a second, a tiny beat of my heart, I'm beyond jealous. I look over at Captain, and he looks at me. And in that moment, something passes between us. Mal, if you ask me to wear pink, I'm going to murder you, I say into the phone, my eyes still on Captain. He blinks and then looks away, getting off the mat and walking in the opposite direction. Mallory is going on about her engagement. And then, finally, the part of me that loves her, the part of me that is beyond excited for my best friend, kicks in, and I smile while I listen. 7. Paige. Fucking hell. I roll over and look at the clock. When I got back from working out with Captain, I cruised the internet for way too long, digging for information and finding nothing. I was going to need help, and there was only one person I could think of who could do it. I'm not sure if he will, or if he'll tell Captain about me asking. I'll have to come up with a plan. I rub my eyes, still feeling drained even though I slept. That hour nap is not going to cut it. It doesn't help that I'm feeling sexually frustrated, and my emotions are being pulled in every direction. I want to tug the covers back over my head and sleep until tomorrow, preferably with Captain wrapped around me so I wouldn't be restless. A loud bang comes from the living room, making me spring from my bed. No one can break into this building, so whoever's banging on my door is someone who was allowed up.
The security in the building is the best, and no way did someone who isn't supposed to be here get in. I secretly hope it's Captain, but I push that thought away. I don't see him doing this. Though after the last 48 hours, I'm starting to rethink what he's capable of. He's getting me off balance, and I can't read him. One second I think he's running hot, then the next he's cold as ice. Maybe Mallory is moving some of her stuff. I head for the door, ready to give the movers a mouthful. I fling it open to find Mallory standing there with a Red Bull. She holds it out to me, and I know it's some kind of peace offering for something she's about to do. I didn't think we were meeting today. I was sure Miles wasn't going to let Mal out of his home for as long as he could keep her there. But maybe he wanted to ensure all her stuff was in his place as soon as possible, hoping that would make sure she couldn't change her mind. "Don't stab me," she says with a bright smile. She looks like she's glowing. She's in yoga pants and a shirt that's too big for her, so I assume it's Miles's. Her hair looks like she just got out of bed, and her face is clean of any makeup. I've never seen her this happy before. And no matter how much it hurts that it's not just me and her anymore, I can't help but be happy for her. I grab the Red Bull and pull her in for a hug. I don't want her to worry about me, though I know she will. This is her moment, and I won't get her down by throwing my shit on her shoulders. Her body relaxes, and she hugs me back. I know we were going to go out and talk about wedding stuff, but she trails off, making me pull back and look at her. Miles didn't want me going far, so he kinda... She looks toward the living room. Oh, God. When Miles does something, it's never half-assed, especially when it comes to Mal. No one knows that better than me. I've been on the front lines for him, pretty much stalking her, for over 4 years. I shake my head, wondering what he's up to this time. I laugh as I pop the tab and take a drink. I walk into the living room and come up short.
Jesus!
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have told him pink was my favorite color. Mallory didn't have to tell him anything. Miles knows all when it comes to her. I can't help but laugh harder at the sight in front of me. The room is crowded with a variety of wedding-related paraphernalia, all in pink. I walk over to a rack by the sofa and pull off a wedding gown.
This is terrible. I didn't even know they made pink wedding dresses.
It's so ridiculous, it's funny, and I can't stop laughing. Mallory scrunches her nose.
It's not terrible, she counters, making me laugh even harder, and her smile widens.
You got engaged hours ago. I put the dress back on the rack and look around the rest of the room. There are samples of everything needed for a wedding, and a stack of books to go with them. My apartment looks like a wedding planner's office.
Did he have this shit in storage, ready to go for when you said yes?
I think the chances are high, but then again, you can get anything at any time when you have money like Miles does.
You know Miles, she says.
Yeah, kind of. I know how he is when it comes to her. I came into Mallory's life because of Miles. He'd hired me years ago to be her secret bodyguard. I fed his stalker habit when he hired me to be her roommate in college and watch over her while she went to school. That quickly changed from her being a job to her being the most important person in my life, the only friend I had. And it had all been a lie. One that blew up in my face when Mallory found out, and I thought I'd lost her. Though she started out as a job, it wasn't that way anymore, and she knew it. Even as mad as she was at me, the job brought us together. We never would have crossed paths without Miles, and I'm thankful. Two people who didn't have anyone else at the time bonded quickly, and we've been glued to each other since day one. But now she has Miles, my half-brother, and that's the most important thing in her life. Miles and I were brought together for one common reason, revenge against our father. But I don't think he's after that anymore. Now all Miles wants is to let it go and be with Mal. But I can't. Our relationship revolved around this plan,
and it's all Miles and I have as far as our relationship goes. He was good to me. He pulled me off the streets and gave me a job. He sent me to school and made sure I had what I needed. But our relationship is based on the bond we formed over hating our father. Now we don't have that anymore, so I'm not sure what will happen in the future. Miles isn't the brother who invites you over to hang out. We don't really talk unless it's about Mal, and he's cold to most people. I've never gotten that chill to melt, and I've given up. I'd tried at first when he came into my life. I had a spark of hope that maybe I could have some normal type of family, but he never let me close. And it probably didn't help that I'd had some resentment toward him when he found me. He was the other family. His mom was the woman my mother used to cry over, wanting to be her, thinking the grass was greener on the other side. No part of my father was green and happy. I'm sure Miles's mom, Vivian, didn't make out much better when she was with him. Miles and I don't really do anything together. In fact, now that I think about it, he doesn't really even have a use for me, and I wonder what that will mean. I don't think he'll fire me from his company, but that would only be because of Mal. He wouldn't do anything that might upset her. The thought cuts deep, and all of a sudden I feel a little bit lonelier. I put a smile on my face, not wanting to make this moment sad. This is important to Mal. Having grown up in foster care, she has always wanted a family of her own, and this is the first step toward it. "So he wants to get married tonight?" I tease. She lets out a little huff, and I'm guessing I'm right. "I told him I wanted to hang out with you and talk about the wedding and other stuff. So we had everything brought here for us to hang out and go through." "Do you even want all this shit?" I pick up some fancy-looking plate that was part of a dining set. "No, I mean, who am I going to invite to a wedding? I think he thinks I want to do some big deal. I don't. I just kind of want to be married." I put the plate down. "Did you tell him that?" "We haven't done a lot of talking since I said yes." Her face blushes a cherry red at her own reference to sex. I shake my head and drop down on the sofa. "Miles doesn't even like people. I'm sure he'll be happy with something super small." She walks over to the stand with all the dresses and pulls off the pink wedding gown. "Put it down, Mal. I love you. I can't let you wear that." She puts it back on the rack and comes over, plopping down next to me. "You moving out?" I ask the question I already know the answer to. She ignores my question and asks her own. "You okay?"
"I will be."
She grabs my hand. "Don't do anything crazy, Paige. I know you want your peace." I glance over at her. She's the only one I've told about watching my father kill my mother. I didn't tell her about all the other things I've heard about him over the years. Things I heard him say he did, too. I didn't want to taint sweet Mal with all that. I gave her the basics, my main reason. That I stood there and did nothing before I ran. I never told a soul what I'd seen, partly out of fear and partly from shame. The guilt eats at me, and sometimes I feel like it's alive inside, slowly taking over, piece by piece. Sometimes I welcome it, and other times, like when I look at Captain, I wish I didn't have it.
"Maybe you should tell Miles."
"No," I cut her off. "Not going to happen. This is mine. And not only that, I don't want to pull him back into this. I don't want Mal in it, because if Miles is, she is. Miles is done with our father, and I want to keep it that way. I don't want Alexander's sights anywhere on Mal, because that's where it will end up if he and Miles go toe-to-toe again."
"I know you can't let it go. I get that. I really do. If someone hurt you or Miles, I'd want to make that person pay, too. I'm just..."
"Let's not talk about this today," I push. "We should be fighting over what ridiculous dress she's going to try to make me wear. I should be trying to persuade her to choose a huge and ostentatious menu, while she tries to do everything on a small, simple budget."
"I've never seen your face like that, Paige. You looked so lost last night."
She keeps trying to push me back there, back to somewhere I don't want to go.
because I still feel shame about that, too. I'm pissed at how easily I froze in front of my father last night. How many years have I been so good at hiding things? How come it's all starting to show? Maybe I'm cracking. Maybe I'm not as strong as I thought I was. How many nights had I lain in bed thinking of all the things I'd say to him whenever I came face to face with him again? Throw my own threats in his face and show him he didn't scare me. That I was going to haunt his dreams now. He'd lie awake at night, scared to close his eyes in case the nightmares would come. But I didn't give him that. Instead, I gave him the fear he loves to see in people. I was fine. Captain brought me home. She raises her eyebrows in surprise as I try to change the subject. Yeah, that's how I can get her off this. She's always eager for Captain information and wants to talk about this thing I have for him. Now that she's happily in love, she seems to want the same for me. I bet she's already planning double dates. I almost snort at the idea. I give her more details, knowing it will keep her off topic. He stayed the night. Oh my God! She claps excitedly, and I shake my head. Calm down, we just slept. I can practically see little hearts floating over her head. I don't know what's up with him. One minute he's kissing me, and the next he's on the other side of the room. He's hard to read. His face is always the same, like a stone that sees all. But I know he's into you. I mean, the only time he ever cracks a smile at work is when you're poking at him. I want to ask if she thinks something between him and me could really work. She's the one who dubbed him Captain America. We'd joke about how perfect and all-American he always looked. That kind of perfection wouldn't want me once he started to peel back my layers. At one time I thought I could fake it until I made it. But if I've learned anything over the past few days, it's that Ryan is able to see through me too easily for my liking. I shrug like it's no big deal. I get up from the sofa and walk to the rack of dresses, pulling off one that's actually white. This will rock on your body, I tell her. It would fit her like a second skin, and Mal has all the right curves for something like it. I'd have to get married tomorrow or it'll never fit. She stands, putting her hand on her belly. We read the test wrong Friday. We didn't wait long enough. I'm pregnant. You're going to be an aunt. Her face lights up, and now I know where that glow is coming from. I rush over to her, embracing her in a hug, knowing how disappointed she was, even if she tried to hide it when the test was negative. Mal shows everything on her face. I still can't believe it, she murmurs next to my ear. I can hear tears in her voice as I pull back and look at her. She's so freaking happy it makes me smile even wider. I know what this needs, I tell her. She sniffs and gives me a watery smile. I know she's happy, but it's not the time for tears. It's time for fun. I'm going to try on that pink wedding dress. Mal bursts into laughter. 8. Paige. When the elevator dings, I look up from my phone and see Miles and Mallory step out. It's Monday morning and things are back to normal. Well, as normal as they can be, now that everything's changed. Mallory is getting married and having a baby, and I'm too happy to worry about how this is going to affect me. Standing up, I feel Captain move in beside me. I try to ignore the way my body heats at his proximity and focus on my job. I woke up bright and early this morning to get ready for the day. I dressed in my usual attire for work, a white button-up collared shirt and black slacks. I change it up a bit with my shoes, unable to stop wearing ridiculous heels. Thank God Miles has always provided me with a hefty salary, so I can afford the things I like. I should probably wear something more sensible, but shoes are my weakness. Well, shoes and food. For a second, I think about the kiss I shared with Ryan, and realize I could easily be addicted to that, too. Probably already am. Shaking off the thoughts of him and his gloriously naked chest,
I straighten my shoulders and tuck my phone into my red leather messenger bag that matches my shoes. Today, I'm wearing my favorite pair of Miu Miu Mary Janes, with heels that look like big screws. They give me the height I need and make me feel industrially sexy. Is that a word? It is now. I've been waiting down here for about 15 minutes, during which time Captain was watching me from across the street. I wondered when he'd come inside, but I guess he was waiting until the happy couple needed their security detail.
Good morning, kitten.
His low voice sends a shiver of pleasure right between my legs, and I have to blink a couple of times before I can respond. No one could have heard him say the words, and I'm sure if he repeated it to a stranger, they'd seem normal, possibly playful. But to me, the memory of the last time he called me that has a whole mountain of meaning attached to it. I remember his deep voice whispered in the dark, and all those desires come flooding back. Thankfully, I've taken my mind out of the gutter by the time Mallory and Miles approach us. It's then I realize I never responded to Captain, and it's too late. I smile at everyone but him in greeting. Those green eyes will make my knees weak right this second, and I need to compose myself first.
We're going to drive in this morning, Miles says, pulling Mallory close to him as they exit the building.
Mallory flushes a deep shade of red, and I try not to think about how messy the back of that limo is going to be when they get to our building. I step outside and make sure Miles and Mallory are safely tucked inside the car before it pulls away from the curb. I watch them leave, and then decide to walk to work. The morning is cool, and I don't mind the few blocks it takes to get there. There's another security detail in place at Osborne Corp that will greet them when they finally peel themselves off one another and get to work. But before I can take two steps, Captain's warm palm wraps around my hand, and his body moves beside mine. I'm obsessed enough to know that he was standing beside me the whole time I watched their limo leave, but I thought I could walk away without incident. Why is this man my undoing? I'm going to walk to work today, if that's all right. I don't make a move to take my hand from his or to look into his eyes. I'm powerless at his touch. And if I see anything on his face that's close to desire, I swear to God, I'll climb his body like a stripper pole.
I saw that. Thought I might walk with you, kitten.
You can't call me that. My eyes are on his shiny shoes, and for some reason my heart feels like it's longing. Hearing him call me that sweet name makes me wish for something I can't have. Something special and sweet that I'm incapable of being. But I can't stop the want from stirring inside me.
Why not?
When he cups my chin with his other hand, I take a breath and look up at him. His dark greens are bright and soft. He's looking at me like I've made his day by merely being alive. And it's a shot to the heart. I take an involuntary step into his space, and his warmth welcomes me. I've lost my voice, trying to find an answer to a question I didn't want him to ask. He puts me in this fog where I don't remember why he can't call me that, or why I can't belong to him. I get too close, and I forget everything but my need to be with him, and my desire to let him protect me. A passing bus blows its horn next to us, and I blink a few times, breaking the spell. I step away from his touch, dropping his hand and feeling his fingers on my chin slip away. The distraction is exactly what I needed, and I hate that I got it. I wasn't strong enough to do it myself, so maybe I should send that bus driver a thank you note. I'm cold without Captain's touch, but I'm doing this to protect myself, and it's the right decision. I walk in the direction of Osborne Corp and feel him at my side. This time I tuck my hands in the pockets of my dress slacks, grateful that I've got them. Pockets are usually in short supply in women's clothing. We walk in silence for two blocks, our steps in sync, and the rhythm is soothing. His silence and the click of my heels in time with the weight of his boots go a long way to calm my nerves. When we get to the coffee shop nearby, I look over and nod. He smiles at me, and my ovaries melt. Jesus, that man has a face Adonis would be jealous of.
Red Bull, vanilla latte, blueberry muffin, and a chocolate scone? He asks the question, but he knows he's right.
Remembering my breakfast order is creepy, but I'll give you points for being efficient.
I lie. It isn't creepy at all. It's sweet, and makes me want to pull him to me for another one of those kisses.
Stop it, Paige, I inwardly yell at myself. I have got to let this kiss stuff go. It's taking up too much of my thought processes. It can't be normal to think about a kiss this much.
I watch as he walks inside the shop and orders all that food. He's going to get a large coffee and a bagel and cream cheese for himself. He never eats the bagel, always offers it to me. It's annoying how much I like that.
I watch from outside as he gets his coffee and waits for the food. My eyes are trained on his full lips as he brings the cup up to his mouth, forms a little O, and blows on the hot brew. Then he licks his lips, and I swear everything below my waist throbs as he puts his mouth on the lip of the cup and drinks. Watching him should not be turning me on, but I have to cross my arms because my nipples are now on high beams. I'm picturing all the things that man can do to me with his mouth when I hear someone say my name from behind me.
Paige, is that you?
Turning around, I'm shocked when I see Patrick. He was one of the kids who lived near the restaurant I grew up in. We would play together in the back alleys when we were 8 and talk about running away. He came from a shitty home like I did. And when he disappeared when I was 10, I had assumed the worst.
Patrick?
Recognition dawns between us, and we both smile as we step forward for a hug. I wrap my arms around his neck, and his wind around my waist. I could cry with relief. Patrick was the closest thing I'd ever had to a friend, but we were small kids. I have an overwhelming feeling of nostalgia seeing him, and a longing for a childhood I never had.
What happened to you? Where have you been? This is crazy!
We talk over each other, both asking the same questions at the same time. I stare at him. His big blue eyes and shaggy black hair give him that little boy look still. He's just a little taller than me, and just as skinny. He's dressed in a Red Hot Chili Peppers t-shirt and jeans, and I want to laugh.
I think you were wearing this exact same thing last time I saw you, I say, and playfully slap his arm.
His smile is soft, and he nods at me.
Yeah, could be. I'm down this way to meet a friend for breakfast.
He smiles and shakes his head.
God, it's so crazy running into you. Not a day goes by I don't think about you. Let's have dinner, maybe.
No. We both turn to see Captain standing there, holding my bag of breakfast and scowling at Patrick. I want to laugh at his absurd expression, but I also feel the need to step in front of Patrick to protect him from Ryan's wrath. So I do a little of both. Laughing, I shift so I'm standing in front of Patrick and take out my phone. He gives me his number and I text him mine.
I've got to get to work, so text me later and let's set something up. I'd like to talk. It's really good to see you.
Yeah, I'm running late too. Great to see you again, Paige. Really great. He leans in for a hug, and I give him one back. I can practically feel the glacial stare Captain bores into my back, but I ignore it. I release Patrick, and he walks into the coffee shop, waving to someone inside.
Who was that?
The question feels accusatory, like I'm in trouble. I can see the jealousy on Captain's face. His jaw is locked as he waits for my answer.
Just an old friend I haven't seen since I was a kid.
I take a sip of my latte and walk the rest of the way to work, thinking about Patrick. Captain must sense where my mind has gone, because he doesn't ask me any more questions.
I'm sure he'll do his own digging once we get to our office,
but until then, he stays silent. Patrick knew about my situation with my mom and dad, so I'm sure he'll have questions. I don't know that I'm ready to go down that path again, but it might be good to talk to someone who already knows about my past. Telling Captain everything isn't going to be easy, and maybe I don't have to. This could be a way for me to work through what I want without the pity I know Captain will give me. Patrick and I grew up the same, so I'm not worried about him feeling sorry for me. We both had it bad back then. And something about sharing that darkness seems familiar. We walk into the building and scan our badges, and I make my way to my desk and set down my things. I feel Captain's eyes on me, watching my every move. He's got questions of his own, but I'm not ready for them. The one thought that keeps running through my mind is that I felt more when Ryan looked at me.